Okay, so let's pick up at the Gemara about seven lines up from the bottom. Gemara Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, we are now discussing that the Mishnah told us on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis that if somebody's dog, let's say Reuben's dog, takes a cake that's on the fire. So let's say it takes Shimon's making cakes on his coals, and Reuben's dog takes one of the cakes off the coals, and brings that cake. And coal over near a Gaddish. And let's assume it's Levi's Gaddish. And so Reuven's dog eats the cake, and the coal burns down the Gaddish. So what's the halacha? So we said for the cake, you're going to be liable to pay Chatzi, or you're going to be liable to pay, excuse me, Nezek Shan. That's easy because that's Shein. But for the Gaddish, for the pile of grain that's burned down, you're going to have to pay Chatzi Nezek. And so, and of course, we distinguished before in Chaf Beis Amud Aleph between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, when we talk about Chatz Nezek, right, so that's as a function of maybe Tzroros or something, and for the Makom Gacheles, you're going to have to pay Nezek Shalim. Mashink and Rish Lakish would say that from the Makom Gacheles, the place where the Gacheles lands, you're going to pay Chatz Nezek, but for the Gaddish in whole, you're going to have to pay really nothing. But either way, says the Gemara on Chav Gimel Min Aleph, it says, Man Chayv, who exactly is liable to pay for the Gaddish in this case? Who's paying Chatz Nezek for the Gaddish? So says the Gemara, Baal Kelev, it's going to be the owner of the dog who's liable to pay for the Gaddish, right? He's paying for the cake that it ate, and presumably he's paying for the Gaddish that resulted in being burned down. So says the Gemara, but I don't get it. V'lechayv nami Baal Gachas, the owner of the coal should also be liable for the Gaddish having been burned down. Why? Because we just said a second ago that according to Yochanan, according to Rish Lakish, everyone's basically going to hold that Eish is at least a function of Mammon. It's just that Yochanan also holds that Eish is a function of Chitzav. But either way, everyone is going to hold that the owner of the Eish is at least going to have to be liable for the damages that are resulted in by that Eish. Either it's a function of its property damage, or it's a function of also it being maybe some form of Tzroros. So then why shouldn't the owner of the coal also be liable for damages that are done to the Gaddish? So says the Gemara, it's Bishat Shimer Gachalas. It's because he did Shmira on his Gachalas. He fenced in that coal. He was, and he did what he was supposed to. And so therefore we're dealing with a case of onus. And so therefore the owner of the coal shouldn't be held responsible for the damage that's done to the pile of grain. So says the Gemara, well, I don't get it then. Bishat Shimer Gachalas. So if it's a case where he did a proper Shmira on his Gachalas, my Bai Kalavas. How on earth did the dog get there? How did the dog get in and get hold of this cake that's sitting on the coals and bring them over to a pile of grain? So it says Gemara, Bishachatar, must be that the dog tunneled under the fence, and that's how it got hold of it. So it says Gemara, Amar of Mari Berei Drav Kana, Zosamar. So that clearly, what does that tell us? That clearly indicates, Stam Delasos Chaturus Hein Itzel Kelev, that doors, generally speaking, walls, generally speaking, are tunneled under with respect to dogs, right? And it's you wouldn't consider this to be an abnormal case, right? So it's not considered right. In this case, you're going to still be liable. Let's say nezek shalim for the cake and chatzi nezek for the gaddish. So says the Gemara. Well, wait a second. So let's figure out these details. The dog tunnels under Reuven, so it's going to be, let's say it's Reuven's dog tunnels under Shimon's fence, goes in and takes the cake off the coal, and it eats the cake. Well, the achleicha. Where exactly did the dog eat the cake? Ilim de achle begadish de ama. If you want to say that the dog schleps the cake and the coal over to some random gadish somewhere else, so then we know that in order to be liable for shein, we learn that from ubi'ir in the pasuk, even though it means to consume, usually referring to fire. In that pasuk, we know that it's referring to the animal's behavior, and it means that it's consuming b'toras shein, b'steacher, and we know that b'steacher tells us that it has to be in the nizik's backyard in order for you to be liable. So for shame. So then Valeka, but if the dog is taking over the cake along with the colt to some random gutter somewhere else, so then you don't have that. So why would you be liable to pay Nezek Shalim for the cake in the Mishnah? So says the Gemara, lo, tzricha da achle begadish de bal charara. Must be that it ate it by the gadish of the owner of the cake. So the dog tunnels under into Shimon's backyard. And Shimon's backyard has a cake that's burning, that's baking on the coals. And Shimon's backyard also has a gadish that is that is sitting in his backyard. So Reuven's dog tunnels under, eats the cake in Shimon's backyard. So now he's going to be liable for Shane. And when he's liable for Shane, also there is where the coal is dropped and burns down the Gaddish. Okay, so now says the Gemara, well, wait a second. If that's correct, Tifshot, so then we should be able to address another problem. From the fact that you're telling me now that you're going to have to pay for the Harara, so then you should be able to address the following question that we had, right? You should be able to address, you should be able to answer, the pi paraso, that the mouth of a cow that belongs to the mazik, that's eating in the shus of the nizik, you should be able to address, the pi para ki chatzar nizik dami. We treat that like the chatzar of the nizik. The ik ki chatzar mazik dami, because if we treat the mouth of a cow like the chatzar of the damager, le malay, then why shouldn't we be able to tell him, my bai riftech, what is your bread doing in the mouth of my dog? In other words, to say it like this, there is a standard question. We know that whenever we're dealing with Shane, you're going to be liable for the damage that's done by Shane, as in the form of Shane, when your animal is essentially trespassing, right? If your animal goes in, if Reuven's animal goes into Shimon's backyard and eats there, so then you're going to be liable, right? But the question is, well, wait a second. What about if it'd be eating in the mazik's backyard? Right? Let's say your fruit somehow end up in my backyard, and now my dog eats up your fruit, so I'm not liable for that anymore. The question is, what's considered to be my rishus? What's considered to be the mazik's rishus? And so maybe the back of my dog is considered to be my rishus, and so then what's part of my animal is considered to be my rishus, it's my domain, and so therefore maybe the mouth of my animal is considered to be my rishus. So if damage occurs in the animal, my animal's mouth, then maybe that's considered to be the mazik's rishus. Well, if that's considered to be the mazik's rishus, then I wouldn't necessarily be liable for shame, because the shame is not occurring in the nizik's rishus, it's occurring in the mazik's rishus. But if you're telling me now that the dog eats the cake, and he's eating the cake in the Nizik's backyard, but I'm holding him liable, what does that tell you? How do we treat the actual location, the mouth of the dog? That tells you that we don't treat the mouth of the dog like the Mazik's Rishus, we treat the mouth of the dog like the Nizik's Rishus. In other words, the Mazik doesn't have the right to say, oh, this is my domain, right? After all, the damage occurred in my domain, because it occurred in my property's mouth, and so if he doesn't have that right, then you could answer this question of pi paraso, right? Tifshot, again, tifshot, you should be able to address the pi para kichatzar nizik dami, right? You should be able to address that the mouth of the cow that does the damage is considered to be like the rishus of the nizik, because you're going to be liable for shein. The ikichatzar mazik dami, because if it were like the rishus of the mazik, if the mouth of the mazik's animal is considered like the rishus of the mazik, lay malay, why can't he say to him, the mazik should be able to say to the nizik, my bayriftech bepumet kabay, what is your bread doing in the mouth of my dog? Right. In other words, that's just our way of saying, right, that this is my rishus. This is not your rishus. What are you doing trespassing? What are your items doing in my backyard? Dibayilahu, because we know that we had this question, bi pi para kichatzar nizik dami or kichatzar mazik dami. When we're dealing with the mouth of a cow, do we treat that like the nizik's domain, or do we treat that like the mazik's domain, like the mazik's backyard? Vi amrit kichatzar mazik dami. And if you tell me that it's like the mazik's, so now the Gemara has a knee jerk to that question, and the Gemara says, wait a second, how does that question get off the ground? If you want to tell me that the mouth of a cow has a status of the mazik's backyard, well then, shein d'chai brachmana heich mishkachaza. How do you ever have a case where you're going to be liable for shein, right? Shein, by definition, is that an animal is, let's say, Reuven's animal is damaging to get hana, and the standard way for it to get hana is by eating. Well, if you're telling me now that every time it eats, it's eating in its own rishus, because it's in the mazik's backyard, because the mouth of the mazik's dog is considered to be the mazik's backyard, well then, how are you ever going to be liable for shame? So the Gemara said, no, that's not really a problem. Amar Rav Mari, Bered Rav Kana, I'll tell you how we could have shame without it being in the form of eating. For example, where it's rubbing itself, it's against the wall, lahna'asa, for its own benefit, scratching itself against the wall to rub its back. The tinfa peros lahna'asa, or if it's rolling around in fruit for hana'a. Which Rashi says, he says this in a number of places actually, that it's like the activity of horses or donkeys that they do, that they roll around on the floor, because apparently it's geshmak to do that. So if you say that, so then I can come up with a way to have shein, where an animal is damaging when it's doing activities in order to get hana for its own benefit, and it doesn't involve eating. And that's maybe what the case of shein in the Torah would be. And so then it's not really a problem, right? You wouldn't be able to say, how could I have a case of shame if I tell you that pipar kechatzar mazik? Now, the Gemara, again, a response to that is, maskalar marzotra, what marzotra has the following problem. He says, I thought we said that for shame, you need this pasuk, you need to satisfy the pasuk of kashir yivar hagalal atumo, which is that it has to be like the tooth finishes things off. It completely destroys something up to its up until it's totally finished. Meaning to say that that it has to be that the form of shame has to be, in order to be liable, has to be that it's totally destroying its target. And so, if you're just telling me that it's rubbing against a wall and it's ruining the wall maybe a little bit, well then, you're not really destroying the wall at Tumo, right? The same thing if it's rolling around in the fruit. It's not really rolling around in the fruit till it's totally destroyed, right? It's squashed, but it's not totally destroyed. Shein has to be that the item is totally diminished. So, but Sukumar says, no, that's not really a problem either. Ravina Amr Deshaf Tzalami, it's rubbing out images, it's rubbing out pictures. Let's say the wall has pictures on it, and your animal now rubs itself against the wall. So it's rubbing itself against this beautiful mural. So that is rubbing it away until it's totally diminished. Ravashi Amr Ravashi says, yeah, and the same thing for the fruit, the Pasi Pesui. It's literally, that means that it's stepping, meaning to say it's crushing the fruit, shoving them into the ground, into schmutz of some sort, where you're no longer going to be able to collect them together. And so if that's the case, so then I can come up with a way for shame to be not in the form of eating, where it's able to, where it's totally ruining the item that was damaged. And so if that's the case, then I can justify and I can make this question legitimate of pipar. Does pipar have a status of chatzar nizik or chatzar mazik dami? So just to recap, where are we holding over here? We started with this Mishnah. The Mishnah was telling us that Reuven's dog goes into Shimon's backyard. It has there's a cake that's baking on the coals. Reuven's dog eats the cake. The coal gets dropped and burns down a gaddish. The question was, why shouldn't the owner of the coal also be liable if it's burning down a gaddish? And the answer is, no, because he did the proper shmira on that gachalas. He put a fence. So the question is, oh, what was it? If he burned down a fence, if he put a fence, then why, then how did the dog get there? The answer is it tunneled under. So you see that, well, okay, so apparently we say that delasos are chatur sinetzel kalev. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Now, where did it eat the cake? So it says, oh, it must have eaten the cake by... If you're telling me that it eats the cake by some random gaddish, well then, how do you have beer b'steach here? So it must be that it ate the cake by the gaddish that belonged to the owner of that cake. If that's the case, so now you should be able to say, oh, well then, if that's the case, then you should be able to say that pipar kechatzar nizik dami, because we say that you're the owner of the dog is being held accountable. Why is it being held accountable? Because the damage is occurring because the mouth of the dog is not considered to be like the mazik's backyard, it's considered to be like the nizik's backyard. And so the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how does that question even get off the ground? If pi par kechatzar nizik kechatzar mazik dami, you're never going to have a case of shame if you say that pi para is kechatzar mazik dami. So the Gemara says, no, yes, you will. You can have shame if an animal is doing damage in the form of hana to get hana. For example, it's rubbing its back against the wall, or if it's rolling around in peros. So the Gemara says, wait a second. How is that said? How is that a case of shame? A case of shame involves totally destroying the item that's damaged. So Ravina says, what are you talking about? If it could be rubbing its back against a mural, and if it's rubbing its back against a mural, it's totally blotting out those pictures. It's ruining it. Ravashi says, yeah, similarly for the peros, it could be rolling around in those peros until it's totally squashing them into the ground. And so that's how you can have cases of shame, which could legitimize this question of pipar kechatzar nizik dami or kechatzar mazik dami. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. to figure out this question of kachatcha nizik dami or kachatcha mazik dami. Whenever you're dealing with the mouth of an animal that belongs to the mazik, how do we view that? Do we view that like it's part of the mazik's domain? It's part of the mazik's rishos. It's like its own backyard. And so therefore, if nezik is taking place in the mazik's backyard, you're going to be, you're not going to be liable for shame. Or do you say no? It says, Gemara, Tashma. So now we have the following raya from this Mishnah, Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Shisa boas hakelev. If Reuven incites a dog to attack Shimon, Shisa boas hanachash, or if he incites a snake to bite Shimon, what's the halacha in these cases? So the Mishnah tells us over there, Pater. So Reuven would actually be Pater for inciting this animal to attack Shimon. So it says Gemara, man pater, who exactly is the person who's going to be pater that we're talking about? The answer is mishase pater. The person who incited the animal is pater. Meaning to say, as opposed to whom? As opposed to the owner of the animal, right? Let's say the case is that Reuven takes Levi's dog, he incites Levi's dog to attack Shimon. Or Reuven incites Levi's snake to attack Shimon. The halacha is, who's pater? The insider. Reuven is going to be pater, the chai bal kelev. And who's going to be liable? The owner of that dog is going to be liable. So now the question is, well, wait a second. Ve'i amet kechatzar mazik dami. Now, if you want to tell me, though, that we treat the mouth of the animal like the backyard of the mazik, lemalei, my bai yadcha, bepumik the kabai. What is your hand doing in the mouth of my dog? In other words, why doesn't the owner of the dog have the ability to say, look, your hand has no business being in my dog's mouth, because that's my domain, that's my rishos, so why should I be liable if you got hurt while you were hanging out in my backyard? You shouldn't have been in my backyard. So says the Gemara, no, ema pater af mishasa. When it says who's pater, we mean that the person who's pater is the mishasa and also the owner of the dog. Both of them are going to be pater. Okay, so that's one mahalakha. And so therefore, if I tell you that the mishasa is the one who is also going to be pater, so now you see that it's the owner of the dog that's pater and it's the mishasa that's going to be pater. So you don't have a right to say that the pi para kechatzar nizik or kechatzar mazik dami. Alternatively, you could answer up by saying the afke lenive visarte. He took out, he directed outward the teeth of the dog, the fangs of the dog, I guess you would say, visarte, and he, I guess you literally say what that mean, that he scratched him, he poked at him. So in that case, if he's directing the teeth of the dog outward, so then the hand is not actually entering, the hand of the nizik is not actually entering the mouth of the dog, and so that's why, in that case, we say that the owner of the dog is going to be liable, while the mishas is going to be pater. Okay, so we don't have an answer to the question. So now the Gemara says, okay, so Tashma, let's bring a raya from the other part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, hishich bo es hanachash. Let's say you take a snake in your hand, and you bring it over to your friend, and you bring the mouth of the snake over to your, let's say, your friend's hand, and now the, until, let's say, the hand of your friend ends up in your, in the snake's mouth, and you cause the snake to bite your friend. So now, hishich bo es hanachash, if you direct the mouth of the snake to your friend's hand, and cause the snake to bite your friend, Rabbi Yehuda Mechai, Rabbi Yehuda says that you'd be liable, v'chacham potrim, and v'chacham say you would be exempt. Now, we explain over there, though, the Amr of Acha, by Bar Yaakov. Now, just I should back up for a second. The case over here that we're talking about, when you cause the snake to bite your friend, we're talking about a snake that's venomous. And so when the snake bites your friend, that kills him. So now when Rav Yehuda says that you're chayev, we're talking about that you're chayev misa, because you murdered somebody, essentially. And Lacham say, no, you're pater. Now, Amar v'achar bar Yaakov, Achar bar Yaakov says, kishetim talomar, if you think about it for a minute, and you take a look over there, ledivri Rav Yehuda, when we're talking about the opinion of Rav Yehuda, he's the one who says that you're liable. So, eres nachash ben shinav hu omid. The assumption is, Rav Yehuda's position is that the venom of the snake, the poison of the snake, is sitting between its teeth. Lefichach, and so therefore, makish or mashich, Besayif v'nachash pater, right? So the way that we would view that then is that because the venom of the snake is just sitting in its teeth, and the snake ejects, releases that venom without kavana, but the eris, the venom just comes out. And so therefore, as far as we're concerned, it's as though you are basically taking a knife, a sword, and killing your friend. So you're not, in other words, you're not causing, you're not, it's not a grumma of being gorim that the snake releases its venom into your friend. It's like taking the knife, the sword itself, and killing your friend. And so therefore the nachash is off the hook in this case. L'divrei chachamim, now according to the chachamim, though, they say that you're pater from murder. Why? Because eres nachash me'atzmo meki. The venom of the snake is not just sitting there in its teeth, it has to be released, it has to be secreted. Lefichach, it has to be like spat out. Lefichach nachash b'skila u'makish pater. So therefore, the nachash, we know that when your animal kills somebody, so your animal is put to death, right? Like we say with an axe, right? If your axe kills a person, so we say that the hashor yisakel, the shore has to be stoned. So therefore, the nachash is going to be the subject to skila u'makish pater, and the person who directed the snake to bite his friend is going to be pater. So now, the e amit, if you tell me, so that's the machlokas. The machlokas is that when you direct a snake to over, holding its mouth over your friend, and the snake bites your friend and now kills him, what's halacha? So that's machlokas tzalim. Do we say the tshuchayv patar? And we explain that according to the opinion who says the tshuchayv, according to the view, that's because that we view the venom is viewed as sitting in the snake's, just sitting there in the teeth. It doesn't have to consciously be secreting it. Again, according to the Chachamim, the snake does. And so therefore, when you bring over the snake, you're being goring the snake to release its venom. And that's what kills the snake, but it's not you who's basically holding a sword, killing the person. So now, if you tell me that the mouth of the cow is viewed like the chachar of the mazik, so then, why can't you tell him, why can't you say to him, what is your hand doing in the mouth of my snake? So clearly it must be that you don't say that. The answer is no. Le'inin ketala l'arminan. Now, when it comes to death, when it comes to killing, we don't apply this far. In other words, the whole question of whether you view the mouth of your animal like your domain or like the nizik's domain, do we view it like the mazik's domain? That's a question that we have in Hilchas Nezikin. That's not a question that we have when it comes to murder. For Nezikin, we have such a question about your domain or not your domain. But for murder, it doesn't boil down to that. For murder, you're going to be liable even if you view kichatzer hamazik. Right? Okay. So you can't bring any rise from that Mishnah. So minatemra. Well, so from where do you say such a thing? So detan hanichnas lachatzer balabayis, if you enter into the balabayis' backyard, shalobrishos, without permission. In other words, you trespass. So Reuven trespasses onto Shimon's property. Unagacho shor shal balabayis. So Reuven trespasses onto Shimon's property, and Shimon has an axe that's sitting in his backyard, and it gores Reuven. And as a result of this goring, so Reuven dies. So Reuven, the trespasser, dies as a result of ending up in Shimon's backyard and Shimon's axe goring him. So what's the halach in this case? Hashor b'sekila, the axe, Shimon's axe is going to have to be killed through stoning because he killed a human being. U'bailim p'tur min ha'kofer, and the bailim, who, when we ever say that the bailim is responsible for the misa that their animal resulted in, that their misa that their animal did to another human being, normally we said that they'd be chayving kofer, they'd have to pay a certain amount of money for the death of that person. But here the Balaam are pater entirely. Now, why are they pater? Balaam pater min kofer my time. What's the reason that the Balaam are pater from kofer? Darmalay, because the Balaam have the right to say, and Shimon has the right to say to Reuven, b'shusim my bais, what were you doing in my backyard? What were you doing in my property? So it says the Gemara, well, wait a second. Shor nami lemalei my bais b'shusi. Well, so when it comes to his axe also, we're putting his axe to death. Why doesn't he have the same claim, right? That with respect to his axe, he should be able to say, oh, my bais b'shusi, what were you doing in my backyard? And so if he, in other words, why are we putting the axe to death? Shouldn't we have a claim to say, you shouldn't put my axe to death. What were you doing in my backyard? My axe gored you because you're in my backyard, but you had no business being in my backyard. So clearly, what do you see? You see that there's a difference that when it comes to Misa, for Misa, you don't have such an ability to say that. For Misa, you don't have the ability to say, what were you doing in my backyard? That's not an argument. And that's where we get that from. You see this indicated in this brayso. Okay, so now, so far we haven't really seemed to answer this question. The Gemara started off saying that from this discussion of the kelev shenat harara, it eats the harara by the gadish. We said that the bala harara, it's eaten by the rishus of the bala harara. So because we're so insistent to establish it this way, so and we're saying that you're going to have to pay for the cake. So it must be if you're paying for the cake, it must be because we don't view the mouth of the dog as though it's the rishus of the mazik. It's like the rishus of the nizik. And so we said, oh, so maybe that should be able to address our question about pipar kachatzar nizik dami or kachatzar mazik dami. How would you ever you have a case of shein if that were true, that you'd view the pipar kachatzar mazik? So we came up with cases of how that would be possible. So then we go on to try to explore this question a little bit to try to answer it based on the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin. We basically dismiss those Mishnayos, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and we're saying that that's a matter of Misa. For Misa, you don't apply such as far as of what are you doing in my backyard. Okay, so now, Hanu Izi, Devei Tarbu, there were this certain goats of Beit Tarbu, the house of Tarbu, the Havu Mafsidi Leil Rav Yosef. So they were apparently causing Rav Yosef some problems. They were causing some sort of a loss. Amalei Labahi. So Rav Yosef told Abai his Talmud, Zil Emelahu Lamaraya. Go tell the masters of those animals to listen in with it. They should stow them away, keep them away. Amalei. So Abai said back to Rav Yosef, Amai, so why should I bother going? The Azilna, if I do go, Armili, they're just going to tell me, Ligdor Mar Gedir Ba'arei. The Mar has business putting up a fence in his land to keep out those goats. So you have business putting up a fence to prevent the goats from getting in the first place. Now, Agav, just by the way, Baal Tosfos point out that Abai's point over here is not really serious. It's not a halachic point. Abai was just trying to get out of having to go. He didn't really want to go, but of course, it's not really an argument to say that you shouldn't be liable for what you do on my property because I have business putting up a fence on my property. Now, the Gemara does seem to take it seriously for us, but second, but the Gemara, and so the Gemara or Rabbi Yosef, depending on which region you go with, asks the following question, the Igadar, well, Shein Dechayev. I don't get it. If that's what it boils down to, that if he puts up a fence, then how do you ever have a case of shame that you're going to be liable for? The answer is no, because shechatra, when the animal tunnels under, and that's, in other words, if you're always going to be responsible, if I can ever blame you for your animal being on my property because I had business putting up a fence on my property, how are we ever going to hold you liable for shame? You should never be liable for shame because you always have the taina, you should have put up a fence. So the Gemara said, no, if it tunnels under, let's say, Inami did not feel good of a lawyer, let's say the fence falls down in the middle of the night. So you did what you were supposed to do. You put up a fence, it just came down. Now, Machris Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef made an announcement, the Itamar Rabbah, or alternatively, it's Rabbah who made the announcement, and he said, Disakin la'ela, odanachtan, those who go up, right, to upwards, meaning they go up to Eretz Yisrael, or those who come down, latachta, to the lower area, meaning to say, who come down from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, they should know the following halacha. Hani Izi, they should be aware of the following. Hani Izi, these goats, the shuka of the shuk, of the marketplace, the mafsidi that are causing losses. What goats of the marketplace are we talking about? So Rashi fills in the details over here. He says, we're talking about goats, let's say, of butchers that are ready set to be slaughtered. So again, Rav Yosef comes in. Or Rabbah comes in and says, "Hani Izi, the shuk at the mafsidi. You have these goats of the shuk that are miuchad for shechita. They're going to be shechted. You're just hanging them out here a little bit for a little bit of time until maybe it's a couple of days later, and they're causing a mess. They're damaging things. So what's the halach? What do you do here? So he says, Masrinim b'maraya. We warn their masters. Trevetilas either 2 or 3 times." Itzai, and if they listen, then great, right? V'ilo, but if they don't listen, Amar Leh, so then what we tell them is Tiv Amasachta, sit by the Masachta, that's the place where the butchers hang out. And the kabel zuzach and accept your money. Meaning to say, what we do is the way the Rashi explains it. It's a little bit of a machlokas we've shown here, but the way the Rashi explains it is that you tell them, look, we're going to do the shkita right now, and we slaughter those animals that are hanging out in the shuk and driving everyone crazy, and we keep the meat, and you know we're happy to pay you a little bit later when it comes to the day of the shuk. But you'll take your, or I shouldn't say that we'll pay you, but you will receive your money for selling the meat on the day that the market starts for these animals for their meat. But that's when they're specifically when they're miyuchad to be shechted, and you're just waiting a day or two. That's when we say that. Okay, but either way, just note also maybe an important nakuda is that this is also a little bit unusual, just because normally you're not responsible for the damage that your animals are causing, depending on what kind it is, either shein or regel. And if we're talking about in Rosh Hashanah, Rashi tells us this is even if they are in Rosh Hashanah, they're hanging out in the middle of the street, causing some sort of loss. Maybe Bitar Shein, maybe Bitar Sregel. So in this case, Rav Yosef or Rabbah announces that this is an option. Okay, let's hold here.